What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Thanks for joining us, folks. 90th. Episode of the Patriot Power Hour, March 31st, 2020, end of Q1 2020, and it was a leap year, so an extra day thrown in there. Been pretty crazy since New Year's till now. Just kind of take a look back yourself and see what's transpired. I mean, just 2 months ago, we were talking about massive war with Iran on the horizon, let alone this COVID stuff, all the economic ramifications. But guess what? We and I, one half of the duo here, I've been the Breaker of Banksters Cochran, for those who have not listened. But I got my good friend here, Future Dan of FutureDanger.com. And Future Dan, I say it almost every show, but I'm so glad that we came to Prepper Broadcasting Network at the time that we did. It really was fortuitous.
Yeah, and a lot of things that, you should, if you were preparing, you prepared for this. Moments are with us right now. It's the same level of dire news that we talked about last week. We're going to get serious about when we're talking about debt monetization from the Federal Reserve, why you should keep on prepping, how it links up.
Absolutely. And that's what I've always focused on, the banksters and the financial schemes and that aspect of the fight against whether you call the New World Order, the globalists, the fat cats in charge, the corrupt politicians, whatever, however you want to couch it. I've always focused on the banksters and the money because that greases the wheel of all the other aspects, whether it's political, geopolitical, even social and cultural is heavily socioeconomic, and economic being the key word. So always focusing on that. And that's why some of this stuff might sound wonky, and I try not to make it wonky, but it may sound a little wonky, get a little detailed, but we're going to try to translate a lot of what's going on into not math, but how it affects your prepping needs, your prepping plans, and when to enact your plans as well. Because when the money goes south, guess what? Everything else is going to follow.
Right, and we're not discussing necessarily in this show, Patriot Power Hour, you know, what to prep and how to have the skills to survive. We get into articles sometimes and talk about that. But what our news analysis is really for is when to pull the trigger on all kinds of sets of contingencies. If you were one who adhered to bugging out, then if you're from New York City, you must have gone a while ago because you can't anymore. And that's pretty much true nationwide. There's no, you know, actual reports of law enforcement preventing people from moving interstate, but there's a ton of orders, almost every governor, and quarantines in effect. If you land at an airport, or if you come into state to state, and we even saw a report this week that the state highways into Florida from bordering Georgia or Alabama, not quite sure, but one of those states, they're checking people. It's like roadblock. So, you know, preliminary bad scene going on. If you're going to bug out, time is probably come and gone.
Absolutely, especially in those big urban centers, but in a lot of other areas too. And in my state, guess what? I got the little text message, and this was something, you know, 5 or 10 years ago I'd mentioned to family or friends, or, you know, my earlier podcast before I, you know, got with you here on PBN, etc. I would talk about, oh, you know, they have this entire text message system set up to get people under control, kind of as a fear tactic, but also as control tactic. And people say, oh, that's just conspiracy theory, or, oh, you just talk about Big Brother, it's not that big a deal, or, you know, this is, a lot of this has changed, thankfully, in the last maybe 5 years with Facebook. Everyone, no one trusts Facebook anymore, right? A lot of people don't trust any of these tech folks, both sides of the aisle, and those that don't vote. Everybody knows that they're real shady. So that's good, but it may not be enough. And, you know, that could just kind of really explode into something a little crazy here. So I want to get back on track. I do want to give a quick shout out, though. We are going to be bringing on a lot of new, not just listeners and not new topics here on Patriot Power Hour, but I am announcing today, towards the end of the show, another giveaway. I'm going to be giving away your choice of crypto. And I had to break in and just bring this out because I was about to forget. I was like, okay, we're getting into some good topics. But before we get spending the whole hour and a half, this is kind of a special episode as well, episode 90. I'm going to be giving away some crypto or silver, your choice, in the latter half or so of the show. So I had to get that out there, Future Dan.
Awesome. Yeah, we're going 90 minutes tonight, Ben. We got 120 hours of news built into the heat map, so that, you know, a lot to cover. Get your news update from Patriot Power Hour on Tuesday nights. It summarizes a pretty good lead back and gives you perspective. And then later in the show, probably I anticipate we're going to get involved into the extraordinary Federal Reserve actions. And I can't let an episode go by without figuring it out with the breaker of banksters giving away his silver.
Absolutely. So we're definitely getting into that. And folks that listen know I'm all about silver and gold, but really that's just the financial preps. I've always said, get your real preps under control, you know, water, food, security, medical supplies. And I won't say that I wish I had more preps and had done more. I definitely do. And I have a couple regrets with this whole situation. But that's just me kind of being very critical. I'm so glad that everything I've done the last 5-10 years, I'm not saying I'm totally prepared by any means, but, you know, even if you just did a little bit, folks, you're way ahead of the game. And keep on prepping on is kind of how I'm trying to live my life.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of great articles out there with strategies about, you know, kind of the way, Ben adds to his stockpile of precious metals. He buys a little when the pricing looks right. There's people doing that in the suburban environment right now, you know, just adding stock. Right, you don't want to necessarily get caught with 40 rolls of toilet paper that you can't use, right? But and that hoard, that's hoarding, and it's perfectly legal in my book. However, it's kind of stupid to not, you know, increase your stocks and keep them, you know, where you need them to be, depending on where you live.
I mean, now that we're on it, might as well continue. We're cutting. Even though we're doing a 90-minute show, we're doing 4 quarters, so we're still going to keep it that way. So we got a little extra time in this segment. Might as well finish it up. I think you're absolutely right. You got to look kind of the smart way to prep. Everyone can go after the toilet paper or the alcohol, you know, rubbing alcohol and sanitizer, but what about real alcohol? That's something that I already had planned to do, and I moved it to the very top of my list a few weeks ago was – grab a whole bunch of liquor, not even to consume myself, but for barter and trade, and for consumption myself. If the lines go down for 6+ months, a little bit, right? But looking outside the box. I think that's something we try to bring here on PPH, and I think the entire network, of course. But, you know, not just gold, not just silver. Those other preps are so important. And so, you know, that's just kind of what I had to say. Now, my question to you, I don't want to put you on the spot, but we're going to have to come up with a challenge question for folks for this giveaway. So if you got one on hand right now, it's good. We're on the other side of the break. Maybe we'll give it out after the news blitz or something. But I'm looking to give that away. But I want to hear something about kind of, you know, where, if at all, does precious metal or cryptocurrency and or fit into our listeners' you know, prep plan? So what do you think? Should we try to hit on that, or should we keep thinking of some questions?
So the question was long enough that the spot that you were about to put me on, I had time to think about.
So I tried to drag it out.
Yeah, it helped. Here's what I think we ought to do for the challenge question, and to get to your question about bullion and where does it fit. I want to hear the best answer from whoever's listening. Wants to come after this prize. Why has it? And Ben, I know you've speculated on the reason why in previous episodes. Don't do it now,
because
okay, you know, it neutralizes that as an answer. But if
I'm
you want
to write this down, so I don't
answer,
do it.
If you want an answer and you have no idea what to give as an answer, you might win by going back probably last six episodes and listening for Ben's answer to this question. Not even six. Like March 12th was probably right when we talked about it. Why has the precious metals and the cryptocurrency skyrocketed in the face of the obvious stock crash? Now, so bond market and credit market and all the ancillary derivatives that have crashed and been completely bailed out like we never dreamed of. Why have those alternative stores of wealth just dropped or stayed even?
And that's the golden question. So wait, what's the question for the folks? Why do they think that's happening?
Yeah, best rationale. Put the bullion and the crypto together and tell us, why are they sitting down there when wealth should be fleeing to them? One would think that as alternatives that aren't limited by the government or, you know, dictated by the government. You know, obviously we've talked about fiat currency and what the dollar became since Nixon. We took us off the gold standard. I'd like to hear from a caller or a listener, I should say, you know, why? Some analysis of their own. Best analysis wins.
Absolutely. I like it. All right. So we'll have multiple entrants. We'll be giving that out. See, that's what I'm going to wait for. I'm going to wait to actually give the email out till the last segment. So good stuff. So future Dan, before we go to break here, we got a minute or so. I know you like to keep your life private, but how are you holding up? I haven't talked to you too much. How are you holding up, your family, friends, with this whole quarantine and stuff? You know, kind of personalize it without personalizing it too much. How are things going?
Yeah, I think our family's outfitted to endure something like this. Not unexpected, right? You know, developing the future danger heat map nearly 5 years ago with its indicators. You know, this stuff was talked about and thought of ahead of time, and I've watched for it, right? So my family's pretty prepared mentally for it, and, you know, locally there doesn't yet seem to be shortages. Very much. You know, you see some store shortages, but they're temporary. So we're just coping.
Yep. That's about the same with my family as well. No one's really laughing at me for the piles of preps I've put away the last few years anymore, so that makes me feel a little better, but not vindicated, and I'm certainly not happy about it. But anyway, we are going to be going to break right now. Check out some of the sponsors of the network. We'll be right back. Patriot Power Hour. By the gasworks wall. Dreams.
the dream by the old canal.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
This is a special announcement from the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Contact us now for preparedness consultation. We use a network of professionals to build your base of essential preparedness. Let us put you in touch with those professionals in emergency response planning, first aid and medicine, security tactics and training, gunsmithing, food safety, and community organizing. Our experts cover homesteading to bushcraft and everything in between. Build a real emergency response plan for your family or business. Create a written contingency plan complete with drills, guides, and annual goals. Customize your strategy to threats you face today. PBN experts can write your plan to address the six categories of base level preparedness. We will discuss how to meet each need within your budget. Create an effective bug out plan. There is a lot to the bug out. If you are truly going to evacuate in an emergency, let's talk about it. Go deep and build out your prepping dreams. Have you tackled the basics? Take it to the next level with tactical and investment advice from our subject matter experts. Let's set up that initial consult and get your preparedness goals met. Go to prepperbroadcasting.com/preparedness-consultation. Affordable preparedness consulting starts with a $50 initial consult. This is the Prepper Broadcasting Network, building self-reliance and independence across the nation.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Who wouldn't publish it?
I got it. Well, what am I supposed to do? You want to write a piece called We're All Fucked?
Yes, that's a perfect title.
Casey, right now, every bank in town is unloading these shit bonds onto unsuspecting customers, and they won't devalue them until they get them off their books. This level of criminality is unprecedented, even on fucking Wall Street.
Jamie, this is me being honest here, okay? It took me years to build my relationships on Wall Street. No bank or ratings agency is going to confirm a story like this just because it comes from two guys in a... sorry, GarageBand hedge fund that thinks it's the apocalypse.
Wow.
I thought you were for real, Casey. You know, I have to say, I really did.
Really? Yeah, Jamie, you try being for real with a three-year-old and a wife getting her master's degree. Look, I'm not going to burn my reputation on your wild hunch.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Back, and we are still live. Episode 90 of the Patriot Power Hour, and guess what time it is? It's that time for the News Blitz. Future Danger News Blitz, follow along, FutureDanger.com. Again, FutureDanger.com, follow along. Time for that News Blitz. I'm going to try to keep it very succinct and informative. Wish me luck. I'm a chatty Cathy. Just looking at FutureDanger.com, what you might first see is that all of the indicators in all four columns at the top are SHTF level red text on black background. We've done 90 episodes. Guess what? Never seen that, I don't think, even in the last few weeks. But it's continued, absolutely. So let's get through some of this. There's a lot of material here, and a lot of it is extremely high level. Starting the first column, Liberty. News blatantly censored. Networks cut away from the POTUS briefings despite massive ratings. I know that I've watched them, but guess what? Media controls what you get to watch. Seattle-based NPR station no longer airing the virus briefings because of, quote, misinformation, saying that it's also grandstanding for elections, etc. CBS News caught using footage from an Italian hospital to describe conditions in New York. This is more kind of mainstream media censorship. Hospitals tell doctors they'll be fired if they speak out about lack of the gear. Doctors are saying more Americans are dying of the coronavirus than we're being told. So that's all in just one indicator. Continuing down in that column, Fed government tracking mobile phone movements during the coronavirus pandemic, as expected. Problems found in dozens of more FBI spy warrants. We're seeing more restrictions of not just toilet paper rationing, etc., but we're seeing an LA county sheriff ordering firearm stores closed, saying non-essential except for serving the police. My gun range near me was closed as well, non-essential, they stated. Life, liberty, or property is deprived without due process. Texas governor executive order mandates a 14-day quarantine for flyers arriving from New York tri-state area. So now we're having interstate quarantines, not just nation to nation. Let's move on to the second column on futuredanger.com, the geopolitical national security curfews imposed. This is at the top level. This is trending. One of the most clicked articles probably of all time on Future Danger. Map of American stay-at-home orders. 30 states impose coronavirus stay-at-home orders. And that's what you do at Future Danger. You click on these, go to all these different trackers, all these different websites, so you can stay informed, get what you need out of them. Moving down, same column. National state of emergency declared. We've seen that everywhere, local, state, and national. The article here, President authorizes DOD to recall ready reserve troops in response to the coronavirus. The NORTHCOM C2 staff isolated in Cheyenne Mountain Bunker, so they're definitely bugging in. National Guard activated, some more information on that. 11,400 troops were mobilized for the response. That's just to date. I'm sure that's going to explode. National Guard mobilizations may deprive communities of first responders. So we're seeing this being mobilized, maybe not in a Chinese draconian way, but pretty big time. Now I want to go to the third column. Sometimes we save it for last, but I want to hit it, try to hit it as hard as I can real quick. I just want to focus on the financial gauges. This is something that was added to Future Danger less than a year ago. A new feature that showed in a visual format how metrics related to the economy and financial markets, what they look like historically. Well, we have several of them in the red zone, which were not in the red zone just weeks ago, let alone months. And we have one in particular at the very top that is totally broken. And I was told it took some back in the back room, some mending to fix this gauge, the initial jobless claims gauge on Future Danger. At one point, I believe it was just a couple hundred thousand. Now it's at 3.2 million. The gauge apparently broke when it broke the all-time high. So we're seeing all-time unemployment. That's just last week. We're seeing articles and news, and I've seen firsthand experience as well, of unemployment sites. The website's breaking. There's so much going after it. Banks simultaneously collapse. Commodity Future Trading Commission quietly bails out Capital One. We've seen a lot of these go on, not just the stuff you're seeing on CNBC. Let's go down to another, because I got to stay on this, I promise, only the gauges for economics. Here's another one that's essentially all-time high, red zone, absolutely red zone, that was not even close to being this bad just a few weeks ago. Federal Reserve total asset change over the last 7 days. It's up 7.93% in just the last 7 days. So if you thought the Federal Reserve and central banking was a problem, well, guess what? It's grown 7.93% in just the last 7 days. And that's another gauge that's totally blown out. Not even close. Fear gauge rises, a.k.a. the VIX. We're still in the red zone. 53 is the score. I think it was mid-60s this time last week. Still red zone historically. We're going back many years. Gold, we're still in the red zone. About 1,000, a little less than 1,600 on the gold front. So those are some key gauges that have just exploded due to COVID. And let's go straight to COVID. Hit on this real quick, and I'll bring Future Dan back into the fold. But that fourth column, which used to not have too much news, at least, you know, red alert, SHTF level, but it's got a lot of it now, kind of the natural slash virus. Now it's all become all about the virus. But FDA grants anti-malaria drugs for emergency use authorization. They're bringing everything they can to bear against coronavirus. We have dozens of articles around the coronavirus, many of them trending. We've got stories of course, refrigerated truck trailers for bodies outside of hospitals. How much of that is real? How much is scare tactics? I got a feeling a lot more is real than we'd like to think. These death tolls going up big. Get all the latest updates here on Future Danger. Let's keep on going down, though, because as you scroll, the stories keep coming. Pandemic, we got more on this. Let's see. A stockpile supposedly had 12 million masks, 30 million surgical masks. So 12 million of those N95 and 30 million surgical masks. A lot of those are missing or just totally ransacked and not even close to what it was supposed to be. The national stockpile, for other reasons, has been left decrepit. And so there's like six or seven articles. I'm not going to go into them. Going to get to Future Dan here. But we have a lot of just not good news about some of that PPE, personal protective equipment, those stockpiles being raided, not being what they were supposed to be, not being of the same quality they were supposed to be. So we got a lot more with that coronavirus. I personally am sick of coronavirus news, but it's so important. We got to talk about it, I suppose. Let me bring on Future Dan, though, get his thoughts on that pretty intense news blitz right there. What are you thinking?
Yeah, the behavior you mentioned growing over the last year where you can start to look across the columns and see linkages is really pronounced in the past 3 weeks. And I think you captured it really well there. Great reading of the news map, Ben.
Thank you. I tried to not pontificate too much because I got so much to talk about these, but there really is just so much. And we're not making this up. We're not exaggerating this. There's more news than ever. That's why we're doing an hour and a half show right now, right? I mean, we could really do 3 hour shows if we wanted, but you know, it is getting pretty insane out there.
Yeah. And one of the things that you got to understand when you're looking at all those level one, hot as could be, fully realized black on red indicators is some of them are more heavier than others, right? And I'm beginning to see behaviors where stock market crashes is no longer active because it did. School closures widespread is no longer active because it's still true. It's just there's no more news to report about it because it's now a de facto. So if you look in, you know, look down the columns, there's some inactive ones that continue to be, you know, they should be active. But finding news for them right now is hard because we got the media is so focused on other things.
Definitely. No, and that's something I've been concerned about even going back to January when all this started breaking, but especially as time's been going. While coronavirus is huge and this economic takeover is massive, we're going to talk a lot about that in the second half of the show. What are we missing? What other massive news? What else, if there was no coronavirus, what would be the massive news of the day right now that was never brought to the surface or just never caught on that we need to be focusing on? We can't get tunnel vision here.
Right. Yeah. There's no way of knowing, right? There just isn't. But I can tell you that in the Western Pacific, starting to see signs of naval and air activity, U.S. versus China, that's still low level, still types of things that have happened in the past, but we got two carriers that have been struck, the crews have been struck by coronavirus, and clearly that's going to pull them out of mission, full mission readiness. And I would say that, you know, a lot of air assets are going to be moved in to replace those carriers that are usually always out there. And, you know, watch Taiwan and the Spratly Island, the artificial militarized islands in the, you know, South China Sea. because, you know, that's where you got to be looking next for really bad news. And if it never happens, pray it never happens. But if it happens, there's, you know, it's bad.
That's definitely a next level. That's a next level event. Not, no joke. I mean, coronavirus is definitely a next level event, but even the worst, quote unquote, worst case models are showing less than 1 million dead in America. And who knows? Maybe that's wrong. Maybe this thing mutates. Maybe in a couple years there's a new strain that comes through and kills several million, and this really is, you know, the one, and this is just the early phases. But we can't ignore, and I think what we need to focus on more, because trust me, everyone's focused on coronavirus news. We need to focus on the second, third, fourth order events that could lead to true economic depression, which will lead to world war. And whether that's a cyber war or a hot war or some new type of war, you know, there are way more than 1 million people could die from that. And that'd be way worse than coronavirus. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, plagues happen. And, they, you know, Spanish flu 100 years ago, right? These come, but they're very destabilizing to society. And I don't know, maybe this nationwide, you know, 3/4 of the nation's under stay-at-home orders right now, or at least 60%, somewhere between those two figures. And that varies state to state. Every listener to this podcast is going to have a different circumstance depending on where they live. But, you know, time will tell. We're in a great waiting unknown right now. And it's discomforting to most of us.
Oh, definitely. Even those of us who've tried to prepare and we're ready for the unknown, we're not. And I think, if anything, we've kind of gone through the honeymoon of the quarantine. I mean, folks have got their fill of Netflix and staying at home, working from home, or having a little mini vacation. Maybe they'll get a stimulus check or two, but their pocket is going to be pinched quite quickly. I'm hoping things take a turn for the better in the next couple months, but we're seeing social distancing 3+ months from now is very likely. So don't let any opportunity go to waste. Don't let any crisis go to waste either, is unfortunately what we have to look for right now.
Yeah, it looks like this president's instincts are probably safer than the alternative would have been. If this had happened when the Hillary Clinton, if Clinton had won and this was happening now, it could be, you know what, just thank God it's not her running this right now, because it would get bad.
Absolutely. We already have, you know, a takeover of FEMA and stuff, but at least they're kind of doing it on the sly. They're not putting down the iron boot. They're not welding people into into buildings like China yet. I'm not saying Hillary would have done that per se, but I wholeheartedly agree. And guess what? I'm not even really a Trump fan, but I definitely prefer him over Hillary and her ilk in this type of situation. So anyway, we're going into the second break of the show right now. Do stick with us. Never frown with golden brown.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Hold on. Stop the music. Are you supporting us on Patreon? Do you know that we are doing patron-only podcasts, videos, preparedness plans, incredible tools like our master preparedness schedule, all available at Patreon for $2 a month? $2. You've got that in your couch cushions. Not only that, that money goes to pay the bills for the network. We release ebooks from the hosts for free to our patrons. It's a tremendous opportunity. Not only is it a great value for $2 a month, but it makes a world of a difference for us. It pays the bills, to be frank. So support the network. Check us out at patreon.com/PBN. That's patreon.com/PBN. $2 a month. patreon.com/PBN.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Whatever possessed God in heaven to make a man like Rambo?
God didn't make Rambo. I made him.
Who the hell are you?
Sam Trotman. Colonel Samuel Trotman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
I wonder why the Pentagon would send a full-bird colonel down here to handle this.
The Army thought I might be able to help.
Well, I don't know in what way. Rambo's a civilian now. He's my problem.
I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. And we'll try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. With a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain. Ignore weather. To live off the land. To eat things that'll make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Back. We are still live here at the end of Q1 2020. It's March 31st, 2020. A couple economic stats just to show where we've come in the last 90 days or so. The Dow Jones hit a high of 29,000, was cut essentially, not in half, but close, relatively close, down to 18,000. Right now we're at 21,000. Now it was essentially the worst quarter in economic stock market history, the Dow history. Worst quarter. Down from 29,000 to 21,000. Still have a while to go, though. And we're still, the way I put it, not just that it's the honeymoon phase, but where the real pain starts to hit. That's at that 20,000 and below level. That's where, if it drops down there and it doesn't sustain. Again, it dropped below there, 18,500. And guess what? The Fed threw more than $2 trillion in stimulus. The federal government threw more than $2 trillion in stimulus. The Federal Reserve threw unknown trillions, essentially infinite. The Fed has stated they have infinite ammo to backstop and be the lender of last resort, et cetera, et cetera. So we're talking untold trillions of dollars. We're able to stave off that phase one market collapse. But what I'm wondering now that it's been about a week, a little more than a week since the whole stimulus bill was passed, the Fed really stepped up and unleashed its bazooka, as the financial press likes to call it. Okay, so guess what? Where are we headed next? What's the better chance? What has a better chance of taking place? The Dow hitting 30,000? Going back to its all-time record and higher, or dropping to 10,000? And guess what? I think that's a trick question. I'm going to go so far to say I believe a greater portion of the stock market will be nationalized by the Fed and the Treasury in combination, that the Dow Jones Index will not even be an apples-to-apples comparison in any way. So that gauge of will it hit 30,000 or 10,000 in the future won't even be a relevant question. And that's where we're getting into this whole, is Trump the new head of the Federal Reserve? So I had a few of my good friends and activists and even radio hosts that I've interacted with over the last several years. I had a few of them independently, totally independently, reach out to me over the last week, over the weekend or last 24 hours or so as well, saying, hey, look, it looks like the Treasury is now kind of taking over the Fed, which de facto the president and the U.S. government are now in charge of the Fed. And Trump is now pretty much slaying the Federal Reserve central bankster beast. And I feel personally that that is absolutely not true. I think when it comes to the Fed, it's so much bigger than what's going on. So, but I want to try to analyze this. And first off, I want to give a big shout out to fellow Prepper Broadcasting Network contributor Stephen Menking. So we had him lined up to be a guest on our show a few weeks ago. Weren't able to make it happen at last second, but he's been posting individual updates on PBN the last few weeks. And he posted one just yesterday, March 30th. So if you go into Prepper Broadcasting Network's feed into the archive, find the Econ update by Stephen on March 30th. And he talks about this, and I thought he did a great job of looking at this. And he tried to, I kind of envy him. He takes a lot of the emotion that I have for the banksters and their schemes. He takes it out of it, and he analyzes it a lot better than I'm able to sometimes. And he looks at this, and it comes down to this. The Federal Reserve has not, by its charter, 1913 and any other, you know, modifications, addendums, etc., but in its entire charter, entire workings, it's only supposed to be able to purchase U.S. debt securities. So those are treasury bills and treasury notes, that 10-year treasury, 30-year treasury, 3-month T-bill, all that stuff that you hear about that is way bigger, way, way bigger than the stock market, okay? That's all those trillions and trillions of national debt and deficit spending. That's how it's funded, okay? So that's how it used to be. The Fed used to only be able to interact in that way. But now, voila, the Fed can purchase other assets, mortgage-backed securities, credit default, and commercial real estate, even potentially invest in companies like Boeing or other major industrials. Now the Fed, by way of the Treasury, is going to, quote-unquote, nationalize this stuff. And that's where it's starting to get, that's where people are saying, oh, now the Treasury is in charge of the Fed, and it's kind of using the Fed under the Treasury's power. And therefore, Trump is slaying the Federal Reserve beast. I'm like, where did you come up with this leap of logic? How did you go from the Fed is just putting out as much of its ammo as possible and market manipulation is at an all-time high, unbelievable, to Trump is now totally taking over the Fed and, you know, kind of, and is now riding this beast for justice. Even if I was a huge fan of Trump, that's not feasible. That's kind of, you know, sounds nice, not possible. So I think I've gone on to this, monotone enough. Let me bring back in future Dan, futuredanger.com. Hopefully he could bail me out of this. What do you think of what I just went through? I know I kind of went on a couple tangents, but what I'm trying to say is just because the Fed can now purchase other assets through the Treasury, and the Treasury kind of enables this and is de facto in charge, does not mean Trump has slayed the central banksters. Am I missing something here?
Well, I don't know if I fully agree. I know you're firm on your opinion, and it was clear. It could be completely valid, but I kind of look at it differently. Federal Reserve is a chartered bank, and we had earlier ones in our history, right? But Congress always put a finite period on them, and they went away. And Alexander Hamilton was wanted one, thought the government should have had one from the get-go, always was in favor of it, right? So this Federal Reserve system in the past has bucked presidents, right? Has, you know, they refused to do something that Truman, for example, in the 50s, wanted to have happen openly. There's long history of reports of the Federal Reserve chairman going to the Oval Office and being pressured by presidents to do certain things. This idea that it's not an organ of the executive branch of the federal government, it doesn't make sense to me. Of course, it should be. And if it was ever said to have been independent and should be independent, it made itself that through a consensus in Congress that demanded it be behave that way. Now we got a pandemic and a national emergency, and executive power is under the executive branch, and that was the way it was meant to be.
That's the ironic. That's really the ironic part of one of these. I think this article might have been the progenitor of a lot of this. It was Yahoo News, and they were talking all about this, and they were actually arguing that it's a bad thing potentially because it ruins the independence of the Fed. So I'm also thinking, if the mainstream media is thinking it that way, trying to spin it that way, and generally speaking, whatever they push, I know is bad news, fake news, if I may. The de facto, is facto equation comes out that maybe there is something to this. At least, you know, maybe he hasn't slayed the beast by any means. Maybe he hasn't even tamed it. But maybe Trump is trying to, at least in this, as a last resort, and given this situation, he's like, hey, all we have is to create tons of debt. Fed, get your ass over here and do what I say. Maybe I can see that argument at best. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm thinking that, for example, Thomas Jefferson knew that a central bank would be a horrible thing for the country and was always against it. That in that period, they had no conception of these facilities by a bank that's authorized by the federal government to exist, that has just says any amount of money exists so that it can lend it to distressed private entities. They never dreamed it would get this wildly out of control, but they had a pretty good idea that it wouldn't be favorable to most Americans. And that's why, you know, until 1913, it was never permanent in this country. But if it was going to have to be permanent, it's executive power, setting of rates, the lending of reserves, that's executive power. And it's this myth for whatever amount of years, you know, we just passed, you know, 1913 now to 107 years is kind of getting burst, and everybody's kind of seeing it. If you want to end right. the Fed, then that maybe the first step to do it is for the public to realize it, you know, under political power. It's not independent of political power. It's not apolitical. And it's exercised under the authority of the president in the end. And the next president could do it too. Anything Trump's doing now, the next one is going to do.
That's the danger, but also the promise of precedent. People usually talk about precedent in a bad way, but sometimes when things are done correctly, they can catch on and continue through the years, through the generations. Okay. I'm still quite skeptical, but there's still a lot to go. There's a lot to play in this game. This is kind of one watermark. How about I'll say this? Here's one watermark where if it crosses this watermark, then I'm more apt to be on this side of the fence. And going back to Stephen Mencken's show, he put this into three. You could be on three sides here. You could be pretty much be on the fence. So I guess that's not really on his side. But you could take this stuff as face value. It's an emergency. This is just math. They're doing everything almost like a computer. No ulterior or altruistic motive. Then you have the tyranny. And on the other side, of course, freedom. Maybe this is Trump trying to end the Fed in his own way, etc. And tyranny would mean Trump's in with the banksters and just driving us deeper into this. So I'm more towards the tyranny slash face value part. Not all the way on tyranny, for sure, for this particular issue, I suppose. But the high water, or not high water mark, but what I would say would push me more towards, wow, Trump actually is doing something of real value here, is if not just for these emergency, so he's putting a handle and some control on some of these emergency measures, but what was kind of routine and even some routine emergency measures back in the day, he still doesn't have that purview over, so to speak. You could argue he does, but I would say he does not. Compared to these new measures where it's kind of written in that, hey, the Treasury really is in charge in some most regards. I guess my question is, or not my question, but my observation, and kind of flipping it back to you, though, is will he kind of retroactively go back and try to take even more power from what was being done before? And or if this crisis passes by, will he keep this up and keep pushing the sword through? Or is this just temporary and he's going to acquiesce and go back to status quo?
I think he knows recent history, the last half of the 20th century, and that he's probably always been of the opinion back when he hadn't really thought about running for president, you know, but was famous and speaking on national issues, you know, all the way through the 90s and beyond and earlier, that when the president should just tell the Fed what to do. So now he's doing it. And for the entire time that they didn't do it, he would do things like tweet about how jacked up the Fed is. we got those in, I believe, episode 62, 63, 64 last August. One of those, he tweeted right directly telling the whole world how bad the Fed was doing, and they later cut one basis point, and he had said he wanted that in August. They had to do it right after the stock market crash, but sure enough, so he'll just campaign against them publicly if they don't do what he says. And the idea that they have unlimited quote-unquote ammo means they have unlimited ability to mythically say Federal Reserve currency exists and then lend it out in digits.
And so I've gone deep into the numbers, into the financial system, but I kind of want to bring it back to that, back home to maybe not the average listener, but at least the average businessman, business owner, who definitely a lot of our listeners are, but maybe not everyone. But think of this, and I'm bringing this from my own personal perspective, my profession. I work in insurance, and I work with a lot of small and medium-sized businesses, and a good portion of them are deemed non-essential and have shuttered either by force or by their own choosing to prevent coronavirus. Also have some apartments and others that are experiencing missed rents. And all these folks, whether commercial, industrial, residential, they really they don't have much to fall back on, a lot of them. Some are prepped up, but a good portion of your small businesses out there, which employ many, many, many Americans, even nowadays, they are just weeks away from bankruptcy. And this hasn't even been addressed with all the bailouts we're talking about now. We went from, so when we're looking at what we've talked about so far, we've looked backwards. Now I want to look forward. I consider that, you know, a 30 to 45 day kind of rescue package and emergency measures. We're looking at probably another 45 days, so we're going to need to double that at a minimum. And here's the question. How are they going to get the money into the hands of these businesses, into these people, is it going to be a total monstrosity? Hint, yes, it is. I'm hoping for the best. But the way I see it, from my insurance point of view, and yes, insurers are big, bad banksters, and I could go deep into that. But long story short, I do believe in insurance to some degree, just like I believe in finance to some degree. And if you let all these insurance companies collapse, and oh, here's the key point. Most of these insurance policies do not cover this type of closure, business interruption. But in New Jersey and a couple other states, and they're talking about it federally, they're trying to pass legislation to force the insurance companies to pay out. That'll make them go bust. The entire insurance industry, all the jobs, and all that coverage will be in default. The Fed would have to backstop that. That's what we're looking at. That type of mess. The amount of corruption that can come out of that is amazing just by itself. So, yeah, we talk about interest rates and trillions of bailouts, but how about all these small businesses that are relying on either the government or their insurer to bail them out? If that doesn't happen quickly, the patient's dead. I mean, we got only weeks to really resuscitate them.
It may have already happened on March 12th and 16th, Ben. The firms that may eventually fail, and the unemployment, 3.3 record unemployment initial jobless claims last week, that could be doubled shortly, right? It could be tens of millions of Americans that went with no work. That's depression type stuff. And that's because that stock market crash resembled 1929 too. These are, you know, deeper, more severe indicators that we're just waiting for those shoes to drop. And the bailouts will just continue. This will bail out. That will bail out. The Fed and the Treasury in some kind of coordination with Congress passing more stimulus, they're all going to just conjure money that doesn't exist to say what happened didn't happen. And who knows? If we peak in coronavirus deaths and the curve, everybody begins to believe, flattens out, then, you know, this might be patched over one more time. But it could go either way right now.
That's a good way to put it. I'm glad you brought that up. And that's what I've been telling some folks, especially those that are really worried. You know, first off, I told them not really to get into markets in the first place, especially at near those all-time highs. But they stayed in, they lost. I said, look, it's not guaranteed. Like you said, it may be like a coin flip. But there's still a good chance that the banksters and friends can whip together enough emergency measures, can kick the can down the road just enough to make this last another, you know, maybe several years before a true global financial reset has to happen. So don't, you know, keep your powder dry to some degree. But the longer this goes, though, without being resolved, if we don't see a peak and a return to normalcy by, you know, 1st of June or so, then they may not be able to, it may spiral from there is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and on a similar but a related front, you know, the curfews, the peaceable assembly being abridged in the name of quarantine, which is not unthought of. You know, we know quarantines will abridge your First Amendment rights. The potential for without income, without satisfactory distribution and replacement of income by this stimulus, and I'm not clear how exactly that happens. You know, civil unrest is something you got to watch for right now.
Oh, definitely. And we're seeing, not just, you know, really, it is concerning. I don't even think we've talked about this too much, but a lot of jails and even some prisons are releasing inmates. The court system has come to a grinding halt, so those folks that are dangerous that should be undergoing trial, maybe they're not. So this is all coming to a halt, and there's some buffer room, you know, but that honeymoon, again, the honeymoon's over. I should, maybe episode 90, Patriot Power Hour, the quarantine honeymoon is over, and that goes financially, that goes culturally, and everything. So this is one thing, we're about to go to break here, but I did want to bring some good news out, and that's that we're doing that contest today to celebrate the 90th episode of Patriot Power Hour. Now, for our dedicated listeners who have already made it more than 1 hour into this 90-minute show, here again is the challenge question. Challenge question is going to be, why has gold and Bitcoin not panned out? Pun intended, for gold. Why has it not panned out with this economic collapse? We've seen gold actually maintain pretty well, but Bitcoin's definitely eating it. Silver has really eaten it. I have some reasons. Now, I'm going to give folks a couple ways. You know, first off, I really do want your opinion. If you have opinion why gold hasn't retained its value as much as one would think when all, trillions and trillions of debt are being pumped in instantly. But Bitcoin and silver too. But if you don't actually have a true opinion on that, I want to know, do you even think Bitcoin or any crypto, as well as gold and silver, do any of these belong in a prepper's plan? Or do you think, hey, we got way more important stuff to spend our money on than shiny pet rocks? We have medical supplies, armaments, food, water filters, a bug out, a place to go bug out to that I wish I had. So that's the question. Again, why is gold or Bitcoin not really skyrocketed with this collapse? Are they kind of a scam insofar as it's a dead end? Or maybe you think they don't even have a true value. But the reward is you're going to get either one silver dollar worth about, the spot price says about $15, but you can only find them on eBay for $25 or more. That's a different story. But we're just going to say a $25, 9999 silver, pure silver round, or the equivalent in the cryptocurrency of your choice if you're a cypherpunk. Probably not. I know, even from my young age, et cetera, I'm not even into crypto that much, but I do, I'm into it enough to own a little bit as a digital prep. But maybe you think I'm crazy. Maybe you think it's, if you don't hold it, you don't own it, and that gold doesn't wipe your butt and you can't eat it. So gold's a total waste too. So give us your opinion is pretty much what I'm trying to say. And this is where you go. Very simple. Email DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com. DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about the topic. No wrong answers, actually. But I will say, if you want to win the contest, you have to agree to have your answer, even if it's anonymized, put on the air. So, looking forward to that. Again, DethroneTheBanksters@gmail.com.
Are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at DisasterCoffee.com.
To oppose tyranny and fight for the rights our Creator bestowed us in the United States Constitution. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Okay, Colonel, now you got us all scared to death. What do you and the special forces think I ought to do about your psycho out there?
Let him go.
Do what?
For now. Defuse the whole situation. Defuse him. Provide a little gap and let him slip through it. Then put out a nationwide APB. In a couple of weeks, you'll pick him up in Seattle or someplace working in a car wash. There'll be no fight and nobody else will get hurt.
I do my own work. I don't figure the best way to do that is to close my eyes and then hope he gets picked up in Seattle.
Well, if you send your people in there after him, they'll get killed.
You know, we're just a small hick town sheriff's department, Colonel, but we're expected to do our duty just like our heroes in the special forces.
In special forces, we teach our people to stay alive in the line of duty.
No shit. I never thought of that.
You want a war you can't win?
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy is a no-win situation for us?
You send that many. Don't forget one thing.
What?
A good supply of body bags.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour entering that last segment. This is your host, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, Cochran, bringing in Future Dan, FutureDanger.com. You know, we got a nice 15 minutes or so here to run through a lot. What's been on your mind? We got so many articles, so many topics, but I don't want things to slip through the cracks. I know you had a couple things you really want to get to.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we did let everybody know. Earlier you talked about the L.A. County Sheriff closing gun stores and then coming out and insisting on it a second time. I saw an article right before airtime tonight that he's backtracked on that. And there was rumors that the president was also going to put into place restrictions on states preventing that from happening. Maybe that bubbles up again and other places try it again. But for now, that's not necessarily true, although gun stores obviously can adhere to governor mandates and decide to close, so it's still a restriction on buying guns in a lot of places, I imagine. Probably because gun store owners probably don't want to risk getting sick, too. I wanted to talk about indicators we're not seeing active, okay. More consequential ones, more severe ones that, take away a peace of mind, at least at the end of March 2020, that we're not there yet, and we might not get there, and we're praying we don't. So before I get into them, though, I do want to mention that the emergency youth authorization for anti-malaria drugs never had that indicator at full on happening, and that's a drug, not just a test kit getting emergency youth use authorization. Think about what that means, Ben. It means whatever the drug is for people with a certain illness, it hasn't undergone all the normal testing. It's an emergency use, right? Usually the FDA requires a lot of testing before drugs are released to the public. That's how severe this is that they're doing that.
Yeah, and if the FDA does that, it's almost then it's real, right? Just like when they move the tax day by several weeks, then you're like, oh man, if the government's doing that, it's for real. I guess that's one way to look at it.
Yeah, and we do have an indicator of the potential of civil unrest starting to get a little green, starting to see some headlines, right? Stores getting boarded up, preparing for the potential of getting, anti-looting measures, you could say. How long people remain unemployed and don't have what they need is a question right now. And we're not seeing riots, but guaranteed authorities are thinking about it. That comes with news that police forces are like the aircraft sailors on the aircraft carriers, critical national security personnel and local security personnel, if the forces start to get ill and incapacitated, does that embolden people that would otherwise, criminals that would, to take to, increased levels of criminal activity. You got to be watching for that, but we're not seeing it right now.
Right. And I absolutely hope that, the latest projections as of today is that the peak is going to be mid to late April. And by early June, maybe, if we're lucky, social distancing can be relaxed to some degree, especially with the summer months coming up and stuff. Obviously, the virus is kind of going into remission to some degree. Who knows about into the fall and winter again? But that's kind of best case. What I'm looking at here on future danger, though, is can we unwind and undo some of these emergency measures? We've talked all about finance. I want to leave that to rest for now. Talk about the Fed and all that stuff. The quarantines, the surveillance state, these emergency use authorization, some of it I absolutely agree with, and it's just common sense. This is almost like a military situation. You need these type of responses. But a lot of them are overstepping their bounds, and it's just getting started, whether that's political or otherwise, a grand conspiracy, some might say, for the police state. A lot of this I don't think is going to be unwound, and I feel like from here on out, kind of starting April 1st, April Fool's Day tomorrow, I don't have any jokes for you, unfortunately, but from then on, it's going to escalate, and if that best case scenario doesn't play out and we're not kind of back to normal by June, then I think these quarantines and these stay-at-home orders, there could be some violence associated with that. There really could be.
Yeah, I don't know. It just with a sports metaphor, I'd react to that is, if you're familiar with the game of American football, preppers probably resemble the safety, the deep back, the one that the people that have to be able to, react to everything before them, and they play ready to go in any direction based on circumstances. If you prep for one particular scenario, like the TV show often showed, they always ask on doomsday preppers, what Henry's preparing for a pandemic, or Susie's preparing for a massive earthquake. And it was so artificial. The only right way to do it is, be ready to play the field as it comes at you. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to say, in 30 days, in 90 days, $2 trillion, $4 trillion, it's all going to be okay. Maybe, maybe not. Got to keep watching the news, because if you went back and listened to this podcast in early February, we were often talking about the extreme overnight repos, how that was really bad news, and it's been continuing. And we were also watching the pandemic in China and watching it just emerge here. And sure enough, in the middle of March, massive economic damage happened. We made some calls, Ben. We were talking about things before they happened. That's why I'm talking about civil unrest before it's happening. And we did this for the first, 80 episodes of Patriot Power Hour. Some nights were really random, like just a random smattering of moderate to low level triggers on the indicators of headlines that there was no coherent pattern. You couldn't look across the columns and say, I could see a threat emerging. You just couldn't. But it started to show itself. And as you open the show tonight, with black indicators everywhere, it's a crisis. And how it deepens, whether it deepens or not, I can't say. It could easily go either way.
Yep. No, good point. Good point. Absolutely. I think one of my litmus tests, and I'm just kind of coming up with this on air, but I've been doing a lot of research, and I think the truckers, the supply, their ability to cross the country, not just the quarantine aspect, but will they be able to get the rest they need? will they be able to, you know, bring on new drivers? Will they be able to have rest stops and fill up stations along the road? A lot of this would be managed by the military if all goes to hell, I would think. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't lead to massive price increases. So while we're seeing this unemployment going off the chain, we haven't yet seen inflation come through. In fact, we've seen a lot of deflation, not just in assets, but in the price of gasoline and oil and electricity, natural gas. So those specifically have depreciated. But what I'm worried about, and we're seeing this in a couple ancillary goods, like orange juice. Orange juice is expect to be paying a hefty, hefty premium for orange juice go forward. But that's just the very, very start. And I expect it to become more and more staples going up in cost. So that double-edged sword, that is something that will be lasting no matter what. Even if all coronavirus was cured in 6 months, we're going to see massive disruptions to supply lines. That's going to just be adding more pressure to the American consumer, the average U.S. citizen.
Yeah, well, I'll wait to see it, to believe it, but it's potentially there. The massive unemployment, all the people with stay-at-home orders and have non-essential business jobs, you know, it's probably a third of all workers in the United States. And I don't think there's going to be a shortage of food delivery drivers or truckers. Getting a CDL, there'll probably be a lot of demand for that kind of job, as, you know, lots of people can't go to work right now, but if they know they can drive trucks. So I'm not sure that's a problem. We are watching very closely the people on the production end of food, though. If, you know, major producers of food, that they can't get people into the plants and safely do it, or the plants get, you know, massive coronavirus going on, they have to be the military and the Defense Production Act and the president, they may be flat-footed again, like with the testing, although the testing was always going to be a hard thing to do with a brand new virus. But if they're flat-footed on guaranteeing that food supply, you could easily see, you know, civil unrest.
Yep, definitely. So we're not again, I like the way you keep me grounded. Not that I'm flying crazy, but I'm not predicting or really even trying to foretell that these events are going to happen. I definitely don't want them to, but trying to look at the news as it's presented, the different research and education, and in my professional experience, you know, in the insurance industry, I deal with all different types of businesses and different types of losses. And one of the big ones is loss of income. And this is essentially like having every single business suffering some form of insurance claim. The problem is all the insurers are going to deny it. So in a true free market capitalism, maybe a lot of those folks would be sunk. And maybe that's a good thing. I'm not saying I want all the small mom and pops to go bankrupt by any means. This is definitely not what's really occurring. But what I'm saying is maybe people should have been a little better prepared, had a little bit of a nest egg, diversified a little bit. To end the show, we only have a few minutes left. I want to pass this to you, future Dan. Are we going to be heading, no matter what, do you think we're going to be heading more into, you know, collectivism, socialism, nationalization? There's a lot of different words for it, but what I'm saying is less personal freedom and more central control, whatever other way you want to call it. I feel no matter what happens, we're heading that direction. Do you think that's true, or do you think this could be a great patriot awakening, this whole coronavirus?
Yeah, I fear we're going to start to resemble Europe with state-owned enterprise, with, you know, massive safety net of, you know, potentially basic income. Basically, people are going to get income out of the treasury in the coming days, at least temporarily. This is going to have the type of effect that happened after the Great Depression in the 20s into the 30s. Whether it's if the shorter the virus rages through our population, you know, the sooner that's done, unfortunately, it's going to take life, but it's going to happen. It can't be stopped. We don't have a cure, and usually these things can't be cured. The, you know, the faster that's over with, the less the damage will be. But there doesn't seem to be anyone standing in its way. One congressman, one, threatened to go into the House of Representatives and prevent a voice vote on the $2 trillion stimulus package that just passed. And he was attacked by the president, attacked by almost everybody else in the GOP for doing it. It was Massey. And that tells you that the politicians are, they're one-tracked on this. It's going to be borrow and spend to the very last.
Absolutely. I am an optimist in the long run. I think that the true American spirit can go worldwide. You know, what we try to really try to embody here as best as we can at the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Self-reliance, you know, individualism, working together, but of our own volition, not being forced to trade or associate with people we don't want to, however that means. It may sound really mean, but that's really what America is founded on. So, you know, pretty much going to the end of the show right now. I am very thankful for everybody who stuck with us through episode 90. Last call for contest entries, dethrone the banksters at gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about the show. The challenge question is about gold and preps, or precious metals or crypto. Do they have any role in your prepping repertoire? But, hey, don't just worry about that contest. I want to hear your feedback. If you have guest suggestions, show topics you want to talk about, questions, comments. Otherwise, though, future Dan, I want to thank you for joining me for another great show. I can't believe we've been through 90 episodes, and we'll be back next week in April. All right, buddy?
Yeah, and how can people give you the answer to the question?
Dethronethebanksters at gmail.com. Again, folks,
dethronethebanksters at gmail.com.
What was that?
They just type it up and give you a written answer, or you want a voice clip?
Just write it out. If someone wants to give a voice clip extra credit, you're not going to get more gold or silver. But
we'll
if,
play
a voice
it on
clip
the show.
Would be really awesome. So if you want to leave a, you know, send a little voice clip, that'd be sick.
Yeah, we'll play it on the winning episode announcement.
All right. So we'll take written submissions, but I like that. That's a little perk there. So, all right, folks. Well, like I said, we'll be back next week for episode 91 of the Patriot Power Hour. As folks have been saying these days, stay safe, but just as importantly, stay sane. I think we're doing a good job here at the PBN. Shout out to all the other hosts doing a great job, and we will talk to you guys next week on the Patriot Power Hour.